In the last 5 years, there have been two new characteristics of educational reform. One has been the focus on large-scale reform, not just a few innovative schools, but going to scale, as they say, entire school districts or even larger than that. So that's one big theme, large-scale reform. The second and more recent has been sustainability. Not only how do you get large-scale reform underway, but how do you do it under the conditions that it's likely to continue to improve. So these twin concepts, large-scale reform and sustainability, what I might also call systemness, are really characteristics of the work that we've been engaged in several different countries. I'm going to give some examples in three countries just to illustrate more concretely what I mean. One of them, a project in the Toronto District, 93 schools. We're providing training for principals and literacy coordinators from each of the 93 schools, 186 people altogether, 7 days a year, about 3 years. It's focusing on literacy, and we are providing the training on leading change. And I'll just say it this way, that there is a big difference between being an expert in a content innovation like literacy and expert in the process or management of change, which is much more involving relationship building, dealing with resistance, assessing progress, being able to link to the big picture, a whole set of things that we've been engaged in. So that's the Toronto District. In York Region, just north of Toronto, we're working on, not this time at training, but as a critical friend consultancy in two ways. One is to do some case studies at the school level of their initiative in literacy involving about 30 schools. We just studied six. And then the second question we're grappling with the York Region District is what we call the multiple innovations colliding question that Tom Hatch referred to in his study. That is to say, most districts have a number of initiatives going on that are not coordinated. They sort of get out schools in disconnected, fragmented ways. So we're working with York Region to sort that out, to help them focus and coordinate their work so that the focus of change can be sustainable, can really set priorities. A third one is Edmonton Catholic District, which is 84 schools, publicly funded in Alberta. We've been 3 years now, 8 days a year, providing training with teams from all 84 schools. Principal, always the principal, and several teacher leaders, reculturing the district. They're all focusing on assessment for student learning, school improvement, and all of these things that we've been writing about and doing on change. So that's one set of examples. A second is we could look at the districts in the United States. School District 2 in San Diego provide a nice combination. District 2, 45 schools, 1988 to 1996, great changes in literacy and numeracy led by Superintendent Tony Alvarado. 96-97, he moved to San Diego to become Chancellor of Instruction. And there, in a sense, the proposition was, because San Diego was larger, can you do with 187 schools, that is San Diego, what you did in District 2 with 45 schools in half the time, 4 years instead of 8 years? And the answer is yes. Finally, I'll mention England. We're doing a fascinating four-year evaluation. We're in our fourth year of a national literacy and numeracy strategy, in which they started in 96-97. Baseline figures that showed that the 11-year-olds, which was their marker, the percentage of 11-year-olds achieving proficiency in literacy and numeracy. In literacy, it was 57% in 1996, 54% for mathematics. They set targets for 2002, 80% for literacy, moving from 57, 75% for mathematics, moving from 54. And then they literally used this large-scale change knowledge from our work and other people's work to design the strategies that would get them there. As of 2001, they've achieved 74% in literacy, up from 57, and 72% in mathematics, up from 54. Major accomplishments. We are doing the evaluation. We're in the fourth year of this evaluation, where we're assessing how well they're doing as they develop this. So we're learning a lot about the lessons of how to bring about large-scale change. There's much more to talk about. That is, we don't take achievement scores as a literal sense as the only measure. It's possible to focus too much on that and have the tail wag the dog and not link it enough to the deeper issues. We are interested in reculturing, which is building professional learning communities at the school level, at the district level, across schools, and also at the state, or in the case of England, the entire country level. I'd start with projects because they're much more grounded than just talking about the research findings, although we've written about these in The New Meaning of Educational Change, the third edition, and also in Leading in a Culture of Change. The next 5 years should be very exciting. I think there are huge problems, but now policymakers as well as researchers and practitioners are converging on the professional learning community, not only at the school level, but how do you accomplish it across the whole district, across the whole system. As we go into this deeper, we focus on literacy and numeracy to get that right, but then the next questions are, how do you change the working conditions of teachers and principals? How do you change the system so the capacity to do this is built in? And there is some very interesting work on sustainability that we can talk about that we're now looking at more closely. And in this dialogue that I have with you, we can look at the ins and outs of sustainability and what it takes to get there. So I think that knowledge base that I've just described is practical, it's well-grounded, and it's a lot of different projects. And there are many more living laboratories now in a lot of different countries, people learning from each other, applying this knowledge, and adding to the knowledge base. Thanks very much.